Hello everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into After Dark with myself, Kayese. Now on today's episode, we're talking about a never-ending and painful journey, and that is of grief. It's even more painful when a spouse dies and, you know, families are at each other's throats, conflict comes to play. And today in studio, we're joined by Sihle Seleke, who's here to share her story about how she became a widow at a young age and the relationship that she had thereafter with her in-laws. Sihle, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me in studio.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
You are only in your 30s, mm-hmm. and yet you've been widowed twice. Mm-hmm. Can you take us through your journey?
I was born Sihle Sibisi, Zulu girl. Mom is Swati, dad is Zulu. Grew up, went to tertiary, met my husband in tertiary, and he was my senior. I was a first year, and he graduated, never got to see him again, but a few years on, we were reunited by a mutual friend. Mm. Fast track, he wanted us to get married. We got married, and when I got married, I was 4 months pregnant with our son. Mm. 4 months later, he passes on. He was involved in a horrific accident that was just, till today I look back and I think, oh, but God, hey. Mm-hmm. So there I was, 23 years old, highly pregnant, with my first child, and my spouse has passed on.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And the most painful thing is when I got the news of the passing of my spouse, my mother-in-law's mom calls me at 6 a.m. and she says, within 45 minutes, my husband's best friend calls me and he says, hi, Sihle. And I'm like, hi. He's like, condolences. Eh? Condolences. He says, yeah, condolences. Condolences for what? He's like, Tepo's passed on. So I immediately call my mom, who's at work. Mm. Ma, I'm telling her, this is the call I got from Tepo's best friend, and this is what he's telling me. And my mom says, please stay in the house. I will let you know. Mm. So I call another friend of his. This other friend of his, immediately when he picks up my call, he's like, oh, Sihle, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yay, is it true? Because I'm calling the whole family and no one is telling me anything. Yeah. In fact, no one's even taking my calls. Mm. And he says to me, Sihle, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, Sihle, I can't talk to you right now. Please, the family asked me not to talk to you.
How's your relationship at the time with them?
At that time, my in-laws loved me.
Mm.
And at that time, I'm home. I'm
you're about to have
your baby. I'm going to have my baby. And so at that time, for me, it doesn't ring anything. Because at that time, there were issues of infertility, issues that underlying silent issues that were happening. Mm. But at that time, I'm thinking, how I see my husband every day. And what is this? I mean, we just had our doctor's appointment where we went for our 4D scan, and he was there. Yeah. We were there together.
So you and your husband are fine?
Yeah.
You and the family are fine, but there are issues.
Obviously, there are issues because at the end of the day, it's their son.
Certainly.
So it's one of those things where they will always side with their son in whatever.
And at what point does the relationship with your in-laws take a turn?
The day they called me to say, you slaughtered your cow, eat it, you've killed him. Mm. In a nutshell, you've killed him. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So the friend says, the family says, I must talk to you. So a few hours later, my mom comes to the house. And my mom is like, Sisi, you must get dressed. We are going. Get into the car. And they're like, it's true. Tepo is no more.
Mm. What did your in-laws do? What exactly did they do?
Yeah, so as I was about to come out of the car, they all ran to the gate. And I remember seeing my mother-in-law's sister, the relatives, everybody, and my father-in-law. And they were standing there like, "Ohlabile inkomo yakhe yidle hamba, you must go." So I got back into the car and I wept.
Mm.
And just to fast track, because my story could take years to finish, we left. And the next best thing to do was to contact my late father's attorneys.
Mm.
And I contacted my late father's attorneys, explained to them to say, I got a call. I was told my husband is dead,
yes.
But I haven't seen him.
Yes.
So I don't physically believe that he's dead.
Yes. And on top of that, you're being told or accused.
I'm being accused that I've killed him, one. Number two, I'm being told to stay away from the house.
Okay.
So the attorney says, okay, fine, we're going to send the sheriff of the court to your in-laws' house, and they must give them a letter. So the letter basically said, what you're doing is legally not right.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, she's married,
mm-hmm.
coming to your property.
Mm-hmm.
That means if the husband is passed on, his corpse belongs to her.
Exactly.
So she needs to know where the corpse is. So I never knew where even which mortuary he was in. I knew zero.
You're just not informed.
Nothing. And I'm highly pregnant. Mother-in-law responded saying, we don't know Sihle. Sihle was never married to our son. And if she says he's dead, she should know where he is. And then the last letter that came from the attorney was, well, thank you very much. We will come to the funeral. We'll leave you with your expenses, but we'll collect the corpse because it's hers. Then all of a sudden, the amnesia fell. My call started ringing off the hook. Mm. Sihle, we need you. Please come. Please come. Please come. We need to talk.
Mm.
So long and short, I went there. We did bury. Mm. And after the burial, that was the last time I saw them.
And you get married again.
Yes. So after loss, you think, you know, I'm beautiful. I mean...
Yes, you are. I love a queen who knows her power.
So after all that drama, it so happened I meet this handsome man. This is a year after Tsepo passed on.
Okay.
So I meet him, and at that time my son is what, 6 months? So when I meet him, he says to me, hey, listen here, I like you. I'm like, me? He says, I like you. I said, look, you cannot like Usihle right now because Usihle is widowed.
Mm.
Usihle has a 6-month baby at home. And my in-laws and everybody says I killed my husband.
Mm.
And he said to me, sit down.
Mm.
My name is Tebowo.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my wife 2 years ago. This is what he says to me. I'm like, stop the traffic. He's like, yes, I lost my wife 2 years ago and I'm currently raising 2 kids on my own. And for the first time in my life, I thought, this can't be happening. Are you serious? So there's a man that's going through what I'm going through. So 4 months later, I was Mrs. Silik.
And then what?
Done. Married I am, and my son was 1 at the time. Got married 2 years later. God blessed us with a daughter. And so I was a mom to 4 kids.
Yes. And he passes away, Sihle.
5 years later.
5 years later.
4 to 6 men came into our home. And to cut a long story short, they gunned him down in the house in the presence of myself, my 2-year-old daughter at the time, my son was 6, my 10-year-old daughter, and my 14-year-old son, and the nanny. So they gunned him down in the house while all of us were in there, in the house.
And so after this horrendous, you know, robbery that happens, mm-hmm. what did your in-laws do after that?
My sister-in-law, she decided it was okay for her to take not only the cars, not only kick us out of the home, but she not only disinherited me of my husband's entire estate, but she took my children from me.
Mm.
And most people will think, what do you mean children? Because she's staying with children. But I was married to a man who was married before. So he had kids from his previous marriage,
yes.
2 children. And those kids, I raised them for 5 years in our marriage. And she said to me, I am taking these kids because they are not born of your womb. And I thought, but how can you do this? We need to grieve together.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spoke to the then person who was my husband's business partner, because my husband was in the legal fraternity, he said to me, legally you have no stand because you, Sihle, did not adopt these children.
Oh, Gosia.
So
there's a legal gap there.
That we need to get educated on, Kayise, because if you marry a man with children, it's not only him that can adopt your kids.
So it's not just a moral thing or an ethical thing. There has to be a legal process that needs to happen for you to say, these are my children.
Yes. So there was nothing legally that attached me to my children that I was told then.
Yeah.
And so she took the kids. So my husband gets buried today. The very next day, I'm disinherited of everything and she takes my kids. I literally lost my mind. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. My emotions and my mind were totally detached.
Yeah.
And at that time, I needed to get better because I couldn't do anything at that time until I'm better holistically within myself. And people would say, oh, now she's doing that. And I'd sit back and think, but don't. You don't know the death that I'm facing within myself, by myself at that moment.
And certainly I can relate. I relate in so many ways. And I haven't spoken about my own journey with my in-laws, but it was documented. Mm. They decided to go to the papers and talk about how I didn't want to give this and that and that. But when I'm ready, I will talk about that journey. Sihle, I'm so touched. What mistakes do you think you might have made in your journey, your healing journey?
Okay, my mistakes that I might have had made at that moment is, one, when I got married, I didn't know or I didn't research. Yes, I was married to a man in the legal fraternity, but I was never told that I needed to adopt his children.
Yes.
My other mistakes that I made was that at that time, when they took everything and disinherited me of everything, I had no will to fight. Mm. Because at that moment, I felt like I was watching my life on a big movie screen. And I had a 2-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son whom I had to make sure live and draw strength from me at that time.
Sihle, you know, your journey is, I think you're incredibly strong for even being here to tell this story. How would you say the law, do you think you found justice?
The law is standing up for me now, because guess what? The law has undone the wrong that was pertaining me. Mm. I am now officially the executor of my late husband's estate. Mm. 4 years later. 4 years later, I am subjected to going to court with my in-laws.
Yeah.
Because 4 years later, I've lost children.
Yeah.
For the first time in 4 years, I was able to physically see the 2 kids that they took from me. For the first time in 4 years, I was able to physically talk to
the kids
they took from me. And now I'm sitting and dealing with issues of, they think for 4 years I was arrested because I killed their father.
Yeah.
They think for 4 years I neglected them.
Sihle, I'm so glad that you've touched on the law, because so many things come at play in between. The conflict, the back and forth. But ultimately, what remains sovereign is what the law says about marriage and the relationship of children and of, you know, in-laws after a spouse has passed on. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to Tebelo Motswane, who is the founder of Sister-in-Law. And this is an organization that helps educate widows, or I think even anyone really, about the legalities that are centered around marriage. Do stay tuned. We'll see you after this. Welcome back. You know, as widows, it's so important to know what our rights are. When in-laws come and, you know, try and strip you of our assets or even the parenting role, such as they did in Sihle's case, it's important to know how you can protect yourself. And to help us understand that better, I have in studio with me today Tebelo Motswane, who is the founder of Sister-in-Law, which is an organization that helps widows and anybody really to understand what their rights are when a spouse passes away. Tebelo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kaise.
So I think the starting point for the conversation for me and you should really be, do in-laws have the right to strip a spouse of their rights, of assets, anything of the sort?
They don't have any rights, because if a husband dies without a will, then he's said to have died intestate, meaning that everything goes to his wife by default. Mm. So surviving spouse and dependents, so his children.
Yes.
If he's married, if he's got a will in place, obviously then it changes depending on who is listed in the will. Mm. And usually it is going to be his wife and his children.
Yes.
Very rarely, you know, will it be his parents or his siblings.
What can we do to protect ourselves, Tebelo? I mean, we get into relationships, we get into marriages even, not fully aware of what's at stake. Mm. What can we do to protect ourselves?
I mean, it's unfortunate that you still have in-laws who try to take chances, you know. What I always tell people to do is that they can contest that, you know. Mm. If there is a valid will in place, that is the testator's, or rather the deceased's, last wishes. So, like in Sihle's case, if he wanted to be cremated, that was going to have to be respected as per his will, because in his will he stated that he wants to be cremated. So you know, in that case, Sihle would have had to go to court.
There are steps we can take before, but what if the drama has unfolded already, and now we find ourselves in a situation like Sihle's. What can we do to protect ourselves then?
Well, it's very, very similar to you know, a case that is widely known, publicly known, which is the WHP and Lerato case, where the court did in fact rule that they were married. And did in fact rule that you know, Lerato was would have been in the position to bury her husband, her late husband. But because, you know, the case, he was a public figure, and it was already decided that he'd be buried in, I think it was Rustenburg, Northwest
Mafikeng.
Then the court just decided that the family could bury him, but they didn't actually have any rights.
Yeah. What if I'm in a long-standing committed relationship? We're not married, but we're living together. Perhaps maybe we even have kids from previous relationships. What does the law say then?
Well, that's very unfortunate, because the law will never give a person spousal rights if there was no marriage in place. So there has to have either been a customary marriage in place, or a civil marriage, or a civil union in place. And that's the only way you have spousal rights. So even if you were living together for 12, 20 years, but there was no marriage in place, and even if you had kids, there's no such thing as a common law marriage. So in order to have spousal rights, when either party passes away, you have to have been married. If maybe you're living together, but you want to protect each other's assets, or the assets, if either of you die, then you must have a will in place.
Because then it lists me as a beneficiary, even if I'm not married.
So what will happen in that case is that, you know, if maybe your boyfriend dies, then his biological kids inherit, but you won't. So if those if his biological kids are not your children won't inherit. And, you know, even if you are married, like Sihle said, you have to have adopted the kids formally in order for them to be considered as biological kids by the law.
And I think that was a big gap that I picked up on, very, very sad
more than anything.
It is sad.
If you, a lot of people don't know that you have to adopt. Marriage doesn't automatically make the kids yours. And another thing is that the less traveled road is proving that there was a customary adoption in place. But you have to prove that the families did some sort of musebetsi for the children, to show that, okay, the children are now married, their parents are deceased, their parents from previous marriages are deceased, but we have now accepted this child as our own, you know. Unfortunately, there isn't enough education around it, you know.
And perhaps there's an opportunity for the law to also develop those certain
things. But it's going to be very difficult trying to, for example, trying to prove that marriage results in the kids being adopted. Because what happens when Sihle's, you know, Sihle's got children by different men, and those fathers are still alive, you know, and they want rights to their children.
Yeah.
But now, because Sihle's remarried, it automatically means that they belong to get it. So it would be very difficult to close that gap in the law.
Yes. Does the validity of a customary marriage exist if we haven't gone to, let's say, the Department of Home Affairs to say we're now married, or a court? Does it exist?
Yeah. Well, the validity of a customary marriage doesn't depend on a registration. Validity of a customary marriage is confirmed by three requirements having been met. The parties were over 18, you guys consented, and then you celebrated and negotiated in accordance with customary law. The law has even developed to say they doesn't have to have been a formal handing over of the bride. It is it can be waived by the parties as they did in Lerato's case. They welcomed her as makoti, and then they want to say we haven't welcomed you into our family. It was interesting to watch,
and I've had various conversations with Lerato. We share quite a lot.
Yeah.
Lastly, Tebello, does it cost anything to have a will?
So what we do is we have a National Wills Week sometime in September every year, where for that week it's absolutely free if you get your will drafted at participating attorneys, participating law firms. Alternatively, you have to get it done at a bank or through an attorney who will charge you their standard rates.
Okay. You are an attorney, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to want to get into contact with you. Should they have further questions, how do they get hold of you?
I have a number of very educational platforms. I'm on YouTube under Tebello Motshwane, where I have a lot of legal content. specifically covering marriages, customary marriages, and what your rights are if you have a will or don't have a will in place. And then I'm also on Instagram as sister-in-law, very easy to find.
Ah, sister-in-law, thank you so much for coming through. I think a lot of people are going to learn a lot from this conversation, and of course, with the conversation I had with Sihle earlier.
Wonderful, thank you.
All right, guys, that is it for today's episode, where we're talking marriage and obviously the conflict that exists within families and in-laws after a spouse dies. I will see you guys next week, same time, same place. And please remember to keep subscribing to After Dark with myself, Kaise.